Hello, hello, hello! This is just a heads up that back again, we'll be taking a mid-season break after this episode. We'll be back the 1st of August. In the meantime, though, the back again spin-off is making its debut. Sword and Spinner takes place in the years between the first soldier poet king and the one Elias is wrapped up in. It's about one very disgruntled Gladicus from the far shore and their bard, Lila, sorting out problems in towns too far away for the kings to care about. I've stolen the voice of one of my favorite people in the world to play Lila, Chloe Peterson, of course, and they've put together some absolutely sick music for it, so while Elias processes her emotional turmoil, give that a listen. But that's me rambling long enough. As you can tell by this episode timestamp, it's already a doozy. I'll see you at the end. Back again, episode 15. Rex Tyrannus.
I'm awful for that, dear listeners. I know. I've gotten better about it, though. Did you notice? That word? Kiss. I can say it now without flushing, and whether or not that's because it didn't mean as much to me this time is irrelevant. This kiss, see, easy to say, was a way to shut him up and a way to distract him and a way to hopefully, get enough in his head to soften him up to the idea of cooperation with us. It was also, definitely, certainly, a manipulation. It didn't mean a thing. Did you hear me, dear listeners? It did not mean a thing. Aha! It worked, though. Somewhat. Mostly. That kiss accomplished 3 of those 4 things. He softened, eyes going wide and losing their steel. I guess kisses meant more to him than me. You came back, he said again. But this time he sounded like he believed it. I did, I said, and hardened my heart. But I won't lie to you, Cassian. I don't want to see Leander dead. It was a little bit remarkable how much one kiss changed the way he looked at me. This was, again, almost the way it used to be. I kept catching glimpses of him, of us, of what we were, had been, would never be, that made it hard to maintain my resolve. Long term, outside of this moment of reminisce, my 2 options were turn him or kill him. Even if that was not the goal of this mission when speaking broadly, even if I was the only one that still believed the former was an option, that was what I had. I prayed for the former. I tried not to think about the latter.
If I asked you for honesty, he said, would you give it to me?
If I gave you honesty, I responded, would you listen? He opened his mouth, but I held up a hand to cut him off. Even if you don't like the answers, would you listen, or would you talk over me with everything that's still in your head? He breathed in, deep, brow furrowing.
If you listen in return.
An open dialogue, I said. We should have had this ages ago.
And yet you left.
And yet the second you heard something you didn't like, you locked me in my room and... I almost finished that sentence with took out Rhea's eye. but that would have been a little too much honesty, and no matter what we both sat claiming, there was only so much truth we could take. I needed him to trust me. And completely shut me off, I finished lamely. He tilted his chin, just slightly.
But I trusted you to hear. Even though you said you would come back when she was safe.
Here's my first truth, I said. Those words left your mouth, not mine. It took me time to decide what I wanted. Cassian picked up his mug and ran a finger around the rim of the glass.
You said you would give me honesty. There is a word for what you are doing right now, a lie from Olmistheon.
A mission, I corrected before I could stop myself. He smiled, and maybe the first real one since we had gotten here. A little bit crooked and a little bit sad.
Yes.
Omission.
Do not skirt around the truth, Elias.
I taught him that phrase. Skirt around something. He'd laughed harder than I'd thought strictly necessary around a skirt being used as a verb. Another good memory thrown back up in my face. Was it the kiss that made him like this? Or was it both of us just lashing out in the most passive way possible, trying to hurt with a combination of nostalgia and friendship and things now broken? But I couldn't give him any of what he was asking. Especially not my reasons for returning. Why did I come back? Well, dear Cassian, to kill you, or steal our pot, or force you into a deal. Which of these options sounds least volatile to you? None of the primary reasons were because I missed you. I did what he'd said. I skirted around the question. How many each? I said instead. Whole and uninterrupted truths. We'd played this game before for silly things, a way to pull embarrassing childhood stories out of each other. It was how I learned why he was missing the very tip of his left ear, his first time cutting his own hair short at 12, a little too frantically and done by candlelight that barely staved off the dark and definitely did not light his reflection well enough in the mirror. It was how he knew about the only time I'd ever gotten knocked out in this world. Dodgeball to the face, fourth grade, gym class. I'd been cowering in the corner and trying to recount the plot of my library book to pass the time when I looked up to find I was the only one left. To the cheering of my classmates, I tried to go to the front for a ball. To the dismay of my classmates, I'd instantly gotten beaned and woken up with 13 9-year-olds staring back at me. Some hero, even then. Why not repurpose our game for here, for this? Make our difficulties something familiar. That smile again.
How many truths? 3.
There was an implied, you know why there. It was always 3s with us. Rex et poeta et soldat. Who first? I asked, though we both knew the rules. Whoever brought up the game was first to confess. What's your question? He brought his mug up towards his lips, but did not drink. Steadily, he asked,
why do you actually think Leander is the poet?
I gaped. This was not the question that I'd expected. Most of my brain had been trying to draw together enough half-truths about my leaving to satisfy him. This one caught me off guard. Well, I began, starting with the easiest first. The veins in their wrist. where you can see it. Theirs were gold. Accept or reject? He frowned, nearly imperceptibly.
Reject. And they could easily fake it. Or it is remnants of magic. There's a lot of remnants of magic in this world, Elias. It doesn't make them special. And prophecies.
I know what you think of prophecies. I cut in. This time, he didn't try to hide his frown.
And you think differently?
I let my eyes go wide. Make that your second question.
Don't answer then. That's an answer in itself. But you owe me more.
We'd never played with empirical measurements, but our standards for empiricism didn't seem to match anymore. Obvious to me did not constitute obvious to him. Enough to me did not constitute enough to him. Well, you heard them sing. Something odd crashed across Cassian's face, and he leaned back in his chair, folding his arms to try to disguise it.
And?
And you... I wanted to grind my teeth together in frustration. This game, prod until you're satisfied, was a lot more fun when it was stupid questions. I needed my turn. And you seem to hear it, okay? Have you ever heard anything like that? You looked fucking entranced, Cassian. And I thought we'd felt the same way about them. He went quiet. That odd thing flickered again, reserved to the crinkling around his eyes this time, and there was something just familiar enough in it that I think I caught. Fear? Disillusionment? Regret? In his face, in his body. Maybe I didn't know after all.
That's enough,
he said gruffly.
That's enough. I'm satisfied.
Well, I snapped.
Did you?
He didn't hesitate.
Maybe they are magic. But that does not make them chosen. They ran, Elias. I saw. You went to talk to them that night of the feast, and they saw you and what it would mean to be chosen, and then they ran rather than risk facing it. There is a difference between a talented bard and a prophecy child. This is why prophecies are archetypes and not assignments. Io did not run.
So because they ran, they deserve to die. I shot back, but he smiled crookedly and held up a hand.
Make that your second question,
he mimicked, and I nearly snarled.
What? My turn again. You asked a question, and I answered honestly. Are you satisfied with the answer I gave?
No. And this time it was more a snarl than a word.
No, I'm not. That wasn't my fucking question. You seemed to like that word.
He traced his finger through a puddle of spilled beer on the table. It was something Io would have done, that feigned, haughty indifference, and that just made me angrier.
I was not supposed to be angry here. I was not supposed to lose control like this.
What word? I said, then cursed again. Fuck. As he smiled and raised an eyebrow.
It's not my turn. That's not my question. Are you satisfied?
He repeated, and I was too flustered to tear apart his answer for more.
Sure,
I snapped. Your turn.
Silence. For another small eternity.
It was enough time for me to get my head back under control, When had he learned to get under my skin like this? I didn't remember being so volatile around him, but maybe I always was. Maybe this time I just couldn't channel it into something like love.
Did you mean it?
He finally asked. It was quiet for a second too long. I nearly laughed aloud and did just a bit before biting it down. I don't know what you mean. There were too many things one of us had said or done that had been left untouched out of fear or anger or embarrassment.
Before you.
And here, I realized, much later, just like how I had cut off my took out Rhea's eye, he was skirting around the phrase, knocked me out. See? We continued the trend. Fear and anger and embarrassment and tense, tense silence.
Before we fought,
he finished, just as lamely as I had.
The night we announced Io, you said that I was not the king.
That's not a question, Cassian. I sighed, but I could already feel my throat closing at where this was going.
Did you mean it when you said you do not believe that I am the king?
I shut my mouth, scrambling to try and find an answer that would not make me lose my last questions. I'd wasted my first one on a stupid technicality, and according to a wine-drunk rule I'd made that he'd held to every time since the first it was used against him, if I couldn't make him think I was being honest, I got no more questions. I believed it at the time, I said, and he didn't hesitate.
Reject.
I wasn't done, I'd said, although I'd hoped rather impossibly that we would be. I switched to Rhysaean, hoping to play it off, and said, casually, Ferroc Lyseons Rex. Do you remember this trick, listeners? I believe you are king. No article. A king? The king up for debate. Up for interpretation.
Reject,
he said, again without even letting me get in the last of my words. Cassian, I'd snapped, prostrated.
A versus the,
he said, and I groaned.
Do you think I hadn't run every conversation we'd had over in my mind, Elias? How you and I came to two different conclusions leaving that tavern, there was only one thing I could come up with. It was in Rhysaean. And you think in English.
The implied. And just like in your language, there is a difference to you between the two. He settled me with an even look.
Honesty. Or you lose your questions.
He'd picked up habits while I was gone. Little things from Io. Little things from having to become greater on his own. I had to. Or I'd just spend a lot of time thinking about how to try and still save him. Even if what I said to lure him in was a bit of a lie. I think at your core you are good, Cassian. I do believe that you could save the world. Tiniest, tiniest flicker of a smile across his face.
You do.
Don't fish for compliments. I rolled my eyes, trying to lighten my voice, and kicked at his legs under the table.
That's an odd phrase.
This was exactly what he'd said when he'd learned skirt around the question.
Define it for me, for old time's sake.
I indulged him. You know, it's like, don't ask for more than you're worth.
Fish for compliments. I fish for compliments. I am fishing for compliments.
He mused, running tenses through in his mind. He cocked his head.
And how much am I worth, Elias?
There it was. My name in his mouth in the old way. Rounded out and rolling and rising. Warm. Is that your third question, Cassian? I asked, but there was no venom in it. I mirrored his expression careful.
It's not my turn, he parried. Doesn't count.
Mine, then. Where is Leander?
He raised an eyebrow, stiffening, and a little bit of the earned ease disappeared from the way he sat. Right to the matter of it.
Rejected, I lilted, trying not to let my temper get the better of me.
They are safe.
For now. But not for long, as you made a big point of announcing. Rejected.
Safe from the rest of the world,
he clarified.
At the palace.
My eyes widened.
In the cellars, but I...
They burned.
You mean you burned them?
He held up a hand.
That is not my question. It is...
A thick, rising word that I'm sure was something along the lines of rhetorical. And you still haven't answered mine truthfully, I said, swallowing the hard edges in my voice. Look, a bit of honesty for free, Cassian. I don't want to see them hurt. No matter what. That's too much. I can't stand with you if you do that. Not now, not ever. And that's really what you want to know, isn't it? Cassian's mouth fell open and shut. Opened and shut. Finally.
The throne room.
He admitted.
They are fine. They are not being hurt, Elias.
It was one of the most secure places in the palace, and as long as the royal family wasn't using it, why not put a hostage there? I let my eyes wander. In one of the booths behind us, a boy rose, carefully counting out coins onto the table, and swept out the door. For now, I said, trying to keep his attention on me. Tomorrow is a different story.
That's not fair,
he protested. There's nothing fair about their death, I snapped. Banish them. Keep them locked up. Never let me see them again. I don't care if it means that they are safe. That's what I wanted to know. Safe only counts as an answer if it means we'll keep being safe.
I never realized how much of an idealist you are.
No one asked me to make difficult choices when I was young, I said. Don't make me start now. Before he could think too much on that, or what I'd gotten out of him, I cut in. Your turn. Silence. For a long, long time. Your turn, I said again. Cassian. Your question.
He didn't look up at me, and the three words came out in a rush. Will you stay?
My mouth fell open just the tiniest bit. That's not a fair question.
Any three,
he said.
The rules of the game. Any three answered honestly.
I don't... I stopped. At some point in my stupor, he'd started staring again. The sort of calculating that I knew meant he'd be able to catch my lie. I knew his face too well. He knew mine. I bit the inside of my cheek. I don't know right now.
Reject,
he said softly. I wasn't done, I protested. I don't know right now, so forfeit my other question, that's fine. I don't know right now, but take me home. With you. And there it was. The breaking point. Two roads crossed and gave their travelers the chance to walk side by side. Cassian offered me a hand, and I didn't let myself hesitate before taking it. We did not go immediately back to the ruined palace. I drew him aside into an alley, just out of the light of the lanterns in the street, and pushed him against the wall. His hand flew to his sword, panic crossing his face for the briefest of seconds before I kissed him again, hard, cupping his chin in my hands. Cassian looked a different sort of panicked, but mostly just very, very smug after that. I asked, "For old time's sake, can we see the city?" And like hell he would have refused after that. So through the city we went, ducking in and out of taverns and wheeling through the night market, marveling at curios and me, of course, at the food. He bought me sugar scones. I didn't stop him. The night grew late. Later, until despite my insistence to drag out the evening, he pulled me back towards the palace. Ruined palace for a ruined king. The two of us stumbling up the grand front steps. I pretended to be tipsier than I was. I pretended I didn't notice that people were staring. I pretended not to realize that that was likely his intention. I was not the only one that could be manipulative. But once inside, that was the important part. For me to perform at the time, and for you, listeners, now to understand. We were in the castle, in his room, back up in his room, playing cards on the bed as I tried to work up the nerve from my grand speech, my "What if you just heard the rebels out, Cassian?" version of a last-ditch effort, and trying not to look at the Book of Prophecy sitting quietly on his desk. I wasn't paying any attention to my hand. I lost, and lost again, and then, just as I had almost found my nerve, "Are you?" Cassian muttered, but it was more to himself.
"He should have been back by now."
I started. "I was here? Why didn't you tell me?" Internally, I cursed. Because, of course, he was. Because, what had led me here? Stories. Stories of a prince waiting. How stupid I was. Cassian was many things, but a storyteller was not one of them. Those were Io's words, Io's ideas to draw me in. What had the shopkeeper said? A ruined palace for a ruined king. Those were poet's words. Even a mediocre boot-licking poet could pull a decent one-liner. I'd gotten too caught up in Cassian. I was always too caught up in Cassian, and I'd forgotten his essential pale shadow. Io from the far shore. His poet. Should have been back from what? I asked when he didn't respond. My voice rose before I could quell it. Cassian? Should have been back from what? He pushed himself off his bed and onto his feet. Halfway to the door, me directly behind him, the door flung open, and Io from the far shore, spitting curses, staggered in. He clutched at his shoulder, almost in a parallel to where I'd been stabbed months ago, a dagger hilt protruded. Blood blossomed across the front of his suit. A false poet, he growled, eyes on Cassian. They're friends. And then he caught me. You, he spat, and wrenched his hand free of his injured shoulder and flicked his wrist hard. A sizable knife shot into it, and he was coming at me. Found out. Found out I'd been found out. I stumbled backwards, slamming into the bed frame, and lunged towards where I propped my sword, sheathed by Cassian's door. You can't sit on a bed with a sword on, listeners, and I'd been trying not to be suspicious, but this proved to be a problem. Cassian caught my movement, and then me, one hand clawing around my wrist. I yanked his grip off and reached the sword. I pulled it from the sheath, and Cassian sucked in a breath. Fire, he said, under his breath, and somehow it was said with just as much vehemence as when Hast called me killer. Because, of course, in my panic, I'd forgotten how we'd swapped out swords. Kalia with mine, mine with Yolo's Yolo. Two blades, not one. I had made a promise that day. I am coming back. But it had not been to Cassian. I meant what I said, Cassian. I breathed into the low space between us. Come with me. Work with us. Us? Io hissed and laughed. King, do you hear this? Us, I told you. I told you, quiet, Cassian snapped. Lies. You were a distraction, King, Io hummed. Her friends have freed the false poet Leander Feldrea. You fell and fell and fell. I said not to trust her. Io, Cassian pleaded. Don't worry, Io finished and coughed. A wet and bloody sound. I killed one of the ones that came to free them. Knife through her back. His eyes hardened, and my hand tightened around the grip of my sword. Let me do the same to her.
Is it true?
Cassian asked, but there wasn't much question in it.
That's why you asked where they were. Not as a condition to come back. As another way to leave.
I said I wouldn't let them die. I said. I can't. I won't. And because this was a good of time as any, this was the only chance I would maybe ever have again. This is not the person you have to become, Cassian. Hear them out, the fret them, they... We want to remake Rhysaea. I know you do too. I know it. This does not have to become a war. Silence for a long minute. Save for Io's ragged breaths. I stared and stared.
I don't think I know you anymore,
he said. Finally.
I don't know why you think that burning this world is the only way to fix it.
He raked a hand through his hair.
go. Then, Elias, see where that will get you, trying to raise our country. Rising from the ashes is a myth. You cannot come back from nothing.
King, Isle balked. Cassian held up a hand.
If you will not stay, don't stay. But know that does make us enemies. And I will end those who stand against the crown.
I swallowed. Hard. I'll have to kill you first, then, I thought, thinking back on my promise to Calia. I couldn't do it yet. I couldn't make myself do it, not when... Fuck me for still thinking of him like this. He was letting me go. He was letting me leave. One more time. One last time. That's fine, I said instead. That's just fine. I backed out of the room. And then I started running. Back Again, Back Again is written and produced by me, Abigail Eliza. If you're enjoying the show, please consider leaving a review on your podcast platform of choice or supporting Back Again, Back Again on Patreon at patreon.com/backagainpodcast, where you'll gain access to bloopers, annotated transcripts, episode sneak peeks, and more. If you'd like to hear more about the show, visit us on Twitter, Instagram, or Tumblr at Back Again Podcast, or on TikTok at Abigail Eliza Writes. Our outro music is Nightingales by Pierce Murphy from the album To Japan, and is licensed under an attribution license. The song was retrieved from freemusicarchive.org. Visit the description of this episode for full copyright information and a link to the page. Sound effect attribution, similarly, can be found in the episode description. If you've made it this far, thanks for sticking around. Please remember that this world always tries to make you feel more alone than you truly are. There are people out there who will love you without condition or expectation, and you will find them. The light-soaked days are coming. I promise. You are so, so very loved. I hope you have a wonderful day. Asiolo hissed. Ah!